Hey, this is Jordan Harbinger. I used to host the Art of Charm podcast, but now it's time for something new. The Jordan Harbinger Show. Did you know you can be entertained and actually get a boost in your life at the same time? On this show, we dig into the superpowers of the world's most interesting thinkers and top talents. Then we deliver them to you right into your ears. But I get it. We're not all superheroes. That's why we give you their blueprint so you can live what you listen. After 1,000 interviews, learning 5 languages, and getting arrested in a country that doesn't even exist anymore, I'm now more ready than ever to introduce you to The Jordan Harbinger Show. Listen free to The Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice, making on mandate. Get it on. And welcome to the best hour in the universe. That is Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Mark Garagus. Once again, from parts unknown, although I do know he's not in the Sacramento area, sadly.
I am not in Sacramento. Are you?
Yes. Well,
and
yes,
are you? You're doing the show tonight, or
as you hear this, I did it last night.
Wow!
And I want you. I want you to know, Mark. It was awesome. I want you to know how I'm wired, Mark. And I truly believe this. One of my greatest joys is going out for a steak and a cocktail with people I really enjoy talking to. It's one of my simplest, greatest joys.
One of the greatest things in the world, isn't it?
I agree. And the caveat is it can't just be every day of the week. I work best when I have a little carrot at the end of the stick and it's dangling there and it's a long week and it's a Tuesday and I keep thinking, yeah, but Friday night, guess where I'm going to be? Here's where I'm going to be.
Bone-in ribeye, Mac 18, 3 fingers of Mac 18, maybe a side. What on the side?
Well, I got to tell you, one of the greatest ones I've tried on the side recently is a truffle oil cauliflower like souffle, like baked in the dish.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
So there I was sitting with Mark Garagus in my mind, having a steak, having a scotch, and having some truffle butter covered cauliflower. But at the last moment, what happened, Mark?
Well, the U.S. attorney, in their infinite wisdom, indicted a client of mine and told me Thursday night, and the arraignment was yesterday, Friday, and he is a police lieutenant out of Pasadena. In fact, he was the spokesperson, and they have indicted him. You'll love this. This is our FBI and our Department of Justice at work. What do you think they indicted a police officer who's had an unblemished career, 48 years old, married, kids, the whole bit, unblemished career, for illegally selling through a firearms dealer guns that he has bought and sold? Now, mind you, it's through a firearms dealer. He let his boss, the chief of police, know what was going on. But the ATF, who can't seem to get, they can make 30 visits to Nicolo Cruz's house and not do anything there, or Broward County can. The FBI drops the ball and whatever. But let's deflect it and indict a police lieutenant for violating the 10-day waiting period, even though as a cop he doesn't have to.
It's a weird. This is something I think that confounds us, which is the allocation of money, power, and effort. I get the fact that we need enforcement. I get the fact we need an ATF or an FBI. What they choose to focus on and use considerable. Now, I guess this is what. So, I guess what happens is, if you have unlimited budgets and not a whole lot of oversight, you just focus on whatever you want. If you're running a restaurant, you have to really prioritize every single day as to what you allocate capital toward in resources and time, right?
Right. I mean, what, am I going to send 30 guys down to go buy product or go to the fish market or go to the produce in the morning? Or is it going to be one guy who's going to do it? Or if I'm the ATF, are we going to go and try to interdict illegal sales and things of that nature? Or are we going to spend countless man hours and resources trying to cannibalize and eat one of our own, namely a police officer, who, by the way, has been on task forces and everything else? And talk about a ticky-tack foul and ridiculous waste of resources. I mean, I think when they originally searched the guy's house, they had 30 people there. 30! You know, with guns drawn on a cop's house. And then today, because obviously the Department of Justice and the FBI have been punching bags lately, they actually, I think I sent it to Gary. Gary, do you have the press release that I just sent you?
Yes, I do. What? Which part of it are you looking for specifically?
Let's see if I can find the one. There was just something. The acting U.S. attorney, Nick Hanna, is quoted in there.
In these days of escalating gun violence, it is important to enforce our firearms laws vigorously, United States Attorney Nicola Hanna said. Those who sell guns illegally need to be held accountable, especially those who abuse a position of public trust.
I mean, can you believe that? Can you believe the sanctimonious bullshit from the acting U.S. attorney? This guy needs to go back into private practice. He was appointed within the last 45 days, and really, this is his signature debut at the U.S. attorney's office?
Well, it's all optics, right? I mean, there was the system. Well, I'm curious in what your thoughts are, because we have a system, we have some rules, we have some safeguards, we have some things that I think the public and the government has decided are reasonable. If this happens, then you send somebody out, you check this out, there's protocol. And it all failed miserably at every single level as it pertained to this gunman in Florida. And everyone knows how many times, everyone knows from the police coming to the guy's home multiple times to the guy who was a gun dealer online saying, I got a tweet from a guy who says he's going to shoot up a school. I'm going to forward it to the FBI. All the way down to the sheriff's department establishing a perimeter while there was a turkey shoot going on inside of the building and not going into the building, the security guard, what have you. Failure after failure after failure. And then these guys want to take to the podium and they want to say, we need more rules.
Right. And because we're doing so well with the ones we have.
And
because we know how to apply them, because God forbid, rather than have to explain your incompetence, just double down and we'll go indict a cop.
Right. So this notion of we have all these safeguards and all this protocol, and we acted on all of it except for we didn't enforce any of it. And then to sit down and be sort of stand at the podium, be sanctimonious about what other people need to do. It's kind of bizarre. I mean, I'm not a big gun guy, but it's also kind of weird for all the people who want to march on Washington and talk about we need sensible gun legislation. It seems to me like there were 45 warning signs that nobody correctly acted on.
I couldn't agree more.
So
I couldn't agree more. And look, when people say, like as you say, not a big gun guy, I have defended over the years, I can't tell you how many gun cases, and cases prosecuted by the ATF or investigated by the ATF or ATF then tosses it to a local authority. Last year I had a case passing a police department. A couple of years ago I had Glendale Police Department. I've had ATF across the country, all over the place. And I can tell you that that this clearly, this prosecution is has no, they just have no business doing this. I mean, it's almost like inventing crime. It's like okay, we want what would be the greatest bang for our buck and the easiest low-hanging fruit? A police officer selling guns. right? I mean, that kind of hits. The only thing you could add to that would be, I don't know, if there was a Russian connection, and it would be a hit all the topics.
Right.
And why destroy this guy's career by indicting him, other than I think there was a meeting, I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but I think there was a meeting last week of the Pasadena City Council, and I believe that a couple of crazies got up and were complaining that this guy has been on paid leave since the search. And so what's the solution? Oh, we'll just indict him so we don't have to pay him anymore, as opposed to working something out.
Well, I have a sort of general rationale or inherent problem with what you're talking about that I'll illustrate to you in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Beachbody On Demand, online fitness streaming service, unlimited access to a variety of effective world-class workouts, personalized to your needs, plus nutritional content, convenient, accessible on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, any other web-enabled device, and you don't need to go to the gym. No annual subscription fee. It's cheaper than any gym membership. Programs for any level of fitness, cardio to weight training, yoga, low impact, and even dance. Over 600 different workouts. And right now, my listeners get a free trial membership when you text the word doubt to 303030. That's 330. So you get full access, you get all the workouts, you get the nutritional information, and you get it all free, and you can try it out, and you have access to all of it just by...
How do they make money if you get it for free?
I don't know. You go to doubt, and you text doubt, and you go 303030, and you can try it all out for free. So I think there's an inherent flaw in the system, the one you're talking about. I experienced many years ago when I was in Burbank and I was crossing the street. Anyone who knows me has heard me complain about it before, but so I'll make it quick. I was waiting at the corner. I was waiting for the light to change. And there was like kind of like a panel truck or something that was turning right, and it was sort of blocking my way a little bit. And the light changed, and I had to wait for the panel truck to go. And I stepped off the curb, and I walked across in the crosswalk while the light was green, and the don't walk was flashing. And I got to the other side, plenty of time. I didn't break into a jog. I was just standing there, and a motorcycle cop shot across the same direction I walked. So he went across the same intersection after I had crossed the intersection. And then he proceeded to write me a ticket for because it was dangerous, because I'd stepped off the curb after it started to blink red. And I said, but you came the same direction I came. So, and you came after I came across the intersection. So how would whatever you did is inherently more dangerous than what I did, because I just walked across and was standing on the other side. And then you shot across, and then the signal changed. And he said, yeah, I'm writing a ticket. And I said, and this is the problem. I said, I'm going to fight the ticket, and I'm going to win because I'm in a crosswalk, and I just walked across the street. And he said, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and fight the ticket. And he handed me the ticket. And then I had to go to the Burbank courthouse, and I had to pay, which I believe should be illegal, because we've not proven I've committed this crime yet. That's why we're going to court. I don't know why I have to pay the penalty before we decide whether I'm innocent or guilty, but you have to pay the penalty. Then you have to wait in line. You have to get a court date. Then you have to go back on your court date. Then you have to wait around for a long time. And eventually you get there and you come up, and it turns out the cop that wrote the ticket didn't show up. And so I win. But again, I win what? I don't win anything. I've lost two days of work.
Right. You're not a winner. You're just trying to tread water.
Right. Now, that's the system. If the system was set up that, hey, now you owe me $181 because you lost, well, then you might change the system a little bit. But if the system is simply, I'll do whatever I want and then choose not to show up when the court date comes around because I don't have a great story, well, then What's to prevent you from just doing that all day, every day?
Right. I could not agree more. Couldn't agree more. And I will tell you, the other problem with the whole system is if you sit there, you generally, in those cases, you have what's called a pro tem, which is generally it's a lawyer who wants to do some pro bono work, or at least is on track or has a career path where he wants to end up on the bench as a judge, which, by the way, I can't think of a job I would rather do less than to be a judge, in especially in traffic court. And you just sit there and you listen to cops lie all day long.
Oh, my God.
And then rule against it. No matter what happens, you know, even though the cop is not supposed to get extra added credit, as a witness is supposed to be judged on the same standards and abilities and credibility as a civilian. But if you sat there for an hour and watched those trials, the traffic trials, the cops win 99 times out of 100, unless they don't show, as you say, unless they don't show up. And I've had the same experience downtown, where when I'm going against, they say you step into the crosswalk on a flashing red. And I said, yeah, but it said 20 seconds. Okay, if I can't make it across the street in 20 seconds, why do you tell me that there's 20 seconds left? Is that to so I can take my pulse and find out what my resting heart rate is? I don't understand why it counts down if that's not to give you a warning or some educational or informational basis upon which to enter the crosswalk.
Well, also, there are elderly people who couldn't make it if they stepped off the second the signal said walk in enough time to get to the other side. And then there's world-class sprinters who could choose to do it in less than 3 seconds. The question is not how long or when, it's did you arrive at the other side before the signal changed?
Right, which is, and that's why I've never understood you entered when it was flashing red. And I said, it wasn't flashing red, don't walk, it was flashing how much time is left. Talk about you heard a perjury trap? That's a jaywalking trap or a ticket trap.
So what's going
on? Okay, so this poor guy, I'll give you updates as this case goes along because, to my mind, it's wholly offensive. The whole thing is just, Gary, what was the line that the acting U.S. attorney used? In these gun-filled or gun-violent
In these days of escalating gun violence, it is important to enforce our firearms laws vigorously. Those who sell guns illegally need to be held accountable, especially those who abuse a position of public trust.
So crammed that back down the U.S. attorney's mouth, I can't even tell you. Such gratuitous. And by the way, ethically, where is the U.S. attorney's ethics that they're supposed to, under DOJ guidelines, only get up there, make a statement as to who it is and what the charges are? Instead, we've got a public service announcement in the announcement. I mean, this guy ever think this guy spent 20 some odd years working in law enforcement with an unblemished career, and really, you're going to be a dildo who's going to stand up there and just use this kind of rhetoric to torch this guy? It's just so offensive to me.
Well, there's so much going on. I mean, boy, have we gone away from due process. You know, I mean, I'm sitting around, I'm working on the Oscars, and
yeah, I was going to ask you, that's tomorrow?
Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of like, well, is Ryan Seacrest going to be allowed to stand out on the red carpet? And if so, are these publicists going to steer their clients away from Ryan Seacrest when he wants to do the pre-interview with them? And I'm thinking, this is because his hairdresser. Now, there are some nutty professions out there, and hairdressers at the top of the list. I have a theory that involves Aquanet, but I won't get into great detail. But they should
do. Is Aquanet something? I mean, is it still around, or is that something?
I think it's still around, but they should be in the concussion protocol. Anyway, I believe the story is, His his longtime or multi-year hairdresser files some allegations with a little blackmail attached to it, too. Like, hey, I'd like to be paid. Otherwise, I'm going to TMZ with this business. Ryan Seacrest, who has no history of anything and 25 years of show business, says, I'm not going to pay your blackmail. And now we have to discuss what we're going to do with Ryan Seacrest on the red carpet, whether he should be there, whether he should be allowed to interview celebrities.
This is kind of a scary time. The scary thing for you and for Jimmy is whether, you know, because we've reached a point where comedians, apparently, it isn't just comedy anymore. There are certain litmus tests and other criteria. What about the jokes? I mean, do you have to vet the jokes, too?
No, there isn't really a joke vetting process, although I think some of the folks from the Me Too movement would like to be involved with that, but these are internally vetted. And so, no, we're doing the jokes we want to do, but of course, with an eye toward the climate we're living in.
Wait, press pause, because I've got something I want to ask you about.
Sure.
Specifically on that. But first, did you know that there's no time like the present to upgrade your old, uncomfortable underwear to Tommy John?
I know it. I'm wearing them now.
I'm wearing mine. Mind-blowing comfort. It never rides up. This is my favorite part with the underwear. The waistband never rolls down. No more picking wedgies or rearranging the goods. Now, they call it the undershirts. I wear those as outer shirts because I just love them, and I love the long-sleeve one. They stay tucked in. The socks never fall down. It's impossible. You can't. The second skin tees, so soft, you won't believe it. And I'm really a fan of, what do they call the, it's not a long john. It's kind of a long john.
Yeah.
They're like pajama
their
pants.
Take on it.
Yeah, I don't know what they call those, but they're like the pajama pants, great around the wintertime.
Oh, it's fantastic, and I love it. And they're all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free, guarantee. Tommy John, no adjustment needed, right, Gary?
That's right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
So, Gary, hold on.
On this,
hold
Adam
on one second.
Be.
Hold on one second. Did, okay. Gary, did she try to blackmail him? Or what is the story with this? I heard that at the writers' meeting yesterday.
From what I'm reading, I don't know that I have yet to find a specific blackmail thing. The first mention in the articles I'm seeing is that she delivered this allegation through her lawyer to all of the people he worked for, to all of his various E! News, ABC. And all the different entities that he worked for. And I can give you an update that everyone appears to be standing by him, and he is reportedly going to be on the red carpet, at least as of a couple days ago.
Sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. So how do you thread that needle, number one? And do you, as a calculation, make a distinction between the audience that you will have there, which I think skews in one direction, and the audience that may be watching, which may not skew as far in that direction?
Well, this
the
is
the, watching at home.
It's a very interesting point, and I'll tell you a sort of comedic secret, which isn't really a secret. Yes, it's interesting because everyone in that auditorium would love to hear a Trump joke, and that number goes from 99.9% down to 47% when it comes to the home, or 61% at people at home, and there's a balance.
Right.
The thing that's kind of interesting is, and we just wrote a batch yesterday of celebrities out of touch, you know, rich celebrities out of touch kind of jokes. And the reason we wrote those is because you can have, no one's more Armenian than you are, Mark Garagos.
Right.
You could sit in an audience at the Armenian Golden Globe Awards. I could get up there and tell five Armenian jokes talking about how cheap every Armenian was and how smelly they were and how whatever. And you would be laughing your ass off because for some reason you wouldn't think I was talking about you, which is weird. Exactly. Because there's a weird dynamic, which is you can go to a city and make fun of people from Chicago who live in Chicago, and they're laugh their ass off because in their mind it's not them. So
it's so true.
The win,
it's so true.
The win-win is to go and make fun of the celebrities, have the people at home nodding their head, and have the people in the theater thinking, this is funny, he's not talking about me. He's talking about everyone else around me.
So what do you think, if you had to predict, what do you think the lion's share of the jokes are going to be about?
Oh, well, I know all the subjects. I mean, I don't.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. I'm in all the writers' meetings. I get all the emails. I mean, we get, you know, do a joke for this, do a joke for that, do a joke for this presenter.
Do you have an NDA? You have a non-disclosure agreement on the jokes?
It's more of there's probably something, but there's more of a just an unspoken. Jimmy is very, so it's interesting. A lot of comedians. So Jimmy's not a stand-up comedian. Jimmy's right. A host, and
right. But he does good stand-up now.
He does, but the Jim, yeah. but that's his
but
monologue.
Where did he learn? Did you tutor him?
Hell no. So here's what it is, and here's what everyone should understand. Everyone should understand the process. Jimmy does a nightly show. Jimmy does a nightly show where he stands up in front of the audience for between 8 and 11 minutes and delivers a monologue every night. That monologue is so fluid that it's probably changing right up until the time he's walking out on stage to deliver it. Right?
No kidding.
So it is not locked off at lunchtime. It's locked off 5 minutes before the show goes. Jimmy is so adept and so experienced and has so many laps up on his feet, reading those cue cards, delivering material that was either inserted or modified moments earlier that's the way he prefers to deliver the information.
Because it seems fresh?
All I can say is, I'll try to move into your realm a little bit.
Okay.
There's no way to really sit down and show some lawyer an instructional video on being a good trial lawyer and being up on your feet and addressing the jury and addressing the client and, you know, that thing. That's just
right.
It's reps, just nothing but reps, right?
Right.
And if you're really good at it, if you're Mark Garagus and you're already good on your feet and you already have a great energy and a great vocabulary, and then you mix that with 10,000 hours experience, you're going to have a great trial attorney. If you work that way, you make your notes, you commit some to memory, you have others on note cards or whatever your process is, that's your process. Jimmy has a process. That's his process. When Chris Rock, he's a stand-up comedian. When he hosts the Oscars, he has a totally different process because he doesn't do a nightly show. He's a stand-up comedian who does a special once a year. So Chris Rock's process is get jokes, collect jokes, go out to comedy clubs, you know, go out to the improv on Melrose at midnight on Wednesday, 2 weeks before the Oscars, and try some of the jokes out. And then collect them and put them in order.
Kind of.
And so he puts an order. Now, the problem is he's out there and he's getting his jokes out there 2 weeks before the Oscars come out. Jimmy doesn't want you to hear any of his jokes until Oscar night. And the good news is it's a very specific skill set. There's just not many guys who can do that in real time. And I can tell you that come Sunday, he's going to go through. You do a full rehearsal, full dress rehearsal Sunday morning. You finish that full rehearsal, you know, monologue, everything, 3 hours plus everything. And everything except for the actual celebrities, given the stuff. Although, right. If they were smart, they'd participate too. And I think occasionally they do. But I'm talking about a musical, the musical act, everything. It's all done to time. Then when that ends, and that's going to end at, let's say, 1 in the afternoon.
Okay.
Jimmy will go back up to his room, and they'll get him a room at the hotel that's attached to the Kodak. And he will go up there at 1:30, and from 1:30 till 3:30, he will change the monologue. He will have jokes that he didn't work as well. He will make tweaks and nips and tucks. Now, he's not throwing out the monologue wholesale, but he will go, this joke didn't work the way I'd anticipated. Or he will tweak it. He will tune it up. Whatever. He will then deliver that to the teleprompter person, and then he will go out and do that whole thing live, which is
so
insane to me.
We're going
to
press pause again, because you know who else has got an incredible skill set?
Who?
LegalZoom.
Oh,
National Small Business Month. Whether you're just starting out or like Adam Carolla, you've already taken over the world, or have businesses or multiple businesses, take advantage now. Just go to LegalZoom.com/startup during March. Download your free business startup kit. By the way, in that kit, you get a ton of great information, not the least of which is how to maximize your business deductibles under the new tax laws, which, by the way, dramatically changed the tax code. Great discounts, special deals from LegalZoom, offers from their service partners so you can shop around for financing, marketing, operating your business. I mean, it's really the full deal and the complete package. Adam, you and I have discussed in the past how IKEA is to you as LegalZoom is to me. They aren't a law firm, but they know you need to tap into the right resources to run a successful business. Gary, don't you agree?
I do agree. Go to LegalZoom.com/startup to download your free business startup kit today. There's no obligation, just free business resources. This offer is only available in March, so if you're listening after then, you can still enjoy special savings by using code DOUBT when you check out LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom, where life meets legal.
So a little peek behind the curtain, yes.
When he does that, mm-hmm. How many people are in the Kodak Theater when he's doing the dry run rehearsal?
Nobody but the writers, including me, will be just sitting, you know. So it's weird because you just sit in an empty chair in between a cardboard head of Sigourney Weaver and Oprah. Like, you don't want to sit in their seat because you'll smash their cardboard, but you just sit into these seats in between, you know, let's just say Gary Oldman over here and Sandra Bullock there, and you just find an open seat, and you just sit in between them. So it's always, it's kind of weird.
Somebody, you know you've arrived in Hollywood if there's a cardboard cutout of you,
yes.
And you know that you still have a ways to go if there isn't.
Yeah, I got a ways to go. Although I did, I think it was sort of racially disrespectful because yesterday I was sitting on a guy who was a rapper who I hadn't heard of, and I just sort of sat on him. I just leaned back on him.
Did you crush his cardboard?
I did not. I didn't. The head hangs out above the top of the seat, and it's duct taped to a paint stirring stick. The cardboard just kind of holds it on the seat. So I just sort of leaned back on the cardboard because there was a guy sitting in an empty seat who I wanted to talk to. And the only way I could talk to him is to sit on some other celebrity.
Well, where do you sit on where are you going to sit tomorrow night during the show?
So during the show, the back of the theater is just catacomb after catacomb after catacomb, like hallway, 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 ramp, 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 and miniature office after miniature windowless office. It's all kind of subterranean. You know, Jimmy's dressing room is 6 foot wide by 9 foot long with no windows. Like it's a bunker. It's just a bunker.
That's amazing because this is not an old theater.
No, they just don't allocate any space to anybody who's like, I guess the conceit is if you're working here, you should be out on stage with a headset on. You shouldn't be hanging out in your office with your feet on the desk. You know, there is nobody has an office that's worth a damn. There's no room. There's no view. There's no anything. And you just walk in this maze of hallways. But when you get up to the back of the stage, they have like cordoned off what would be kind of like a makeshift room that is not very wide, but it's long. For all of the writers, and we will be sitting there, and we will have monitors, and we will have notepads, and we'll have what have you, and Jimmy will start there, and then he'll go out and do what he does, and then when he walks off stage and Sandra Bullock goes on to give out an award, he'll come back to where we are, and then he'll say something like, you know, the range will be anything from going great or the audience is good or whatever, keep it up, to we got to get some jokes for so-and-so or whatever just won the best doc. We don't have any jokes for the best doc. You know, that thing, I need a joke. I need a something versus should I say something? Shouldn't I say something? And also kind of a lot of where are we? Because there's 14 acts. You know, you get a little lost in the middle. Are we on 7? Are we on 9? Like, who's coming out next? Who am I? What's next? It's a lot of what's next? Who are we introducing next?
Do you also, is that part of the improv too, where you're having discussions? Maybe we use this or use that, or what about this? Or if somebody wins, do you change it? I mean, is it that much in the state of flux?
Well, you try to lock off stuff as much as you can lock off stuff. But if Viola Davis gets out there and gives a crazy, tearful acceptance speech where tears are flowing and she's pumping her fist to the heavens, you're sort of compelled to say something.
Right. That's what I would think. So if somebody, you know, the old Sally Fields.
You like me. You actually really like me. Yeah. Right. Right.
How can you not respond? Right.
Right. So if that sort of thing happens and there's no way, first off, you can't anticipate she's going to say that. And you can anticipate that she might win. So you might have a joke or two if Sally Fields wins because she's favored in that category. But you're not going to be able to anticipate her speech or the content of her speech, in which case there will be like a quick discussion. Like I had it last year with Jimmy, which is first things first, does he just go out there, get back on the prompter and get back to work? Or is he compelled to say something? Like, so I told him last year for somebody, I can't remember, but I was like, you need to say something about this. Cause it just happened. And it was more than a three, you know? So there's that. Then there's also this kind of weird dance of like, you know, the makeup person's patting him down and somebody else is giving him the rundown for the next thing. Do you really want to insert yourself into that group and start talking about what he should do or telling jokes he should try to memorize, you know, to walk out there with? You know, there's a little bit of a balancing act of like, give the guy a little space, don't overwhelm him with stuff.
Right.
You know, if you think you have a really good zinger, let it be known, but make sure you're not bum rushing and crowding, you know.
Right.
And Jimmy's
I like that. So there's a, and then does Jimmy, as a matter of course, ask you, or do you guys give him feedback on what's working, what's not, or do you do a, or is that too micromanaging?
Well, what's working, what's not, is in the past by the time you walk back there. So it's not really worth sifting through the what's working, what's not working, because it's already done. So there's a general sort of, let's just try to be positive, you know, good, nice job, champ. Let's get to the next one, because the last one is in the books. And it's live, so there's no, well, we'll edit that out when it goes to the East Coast feed or something like that. Just, it's done. So we don't do a what's working, what's not working. We do a, you know, we will sometimes assess if we're trying something, if we're, and there will be things that we're trying that haven't been tried before that have a lot of question marks that, you know, last year they pulled a bus up and they pulled a tourist bus up and they unloaded everybody into the Kodak Theater who thought they were going on a Hollywood sightseeing tour, and they walked into the Kodak Theater, and it was a great gag and it worked great, but we didn't know how it was going to work before we did it. Obviously we didn't know if there was going to be confusion. We didn't know how they were going to react. We didn't know how the celebrities were going to react. So after something that hasn't been done before, there is a discussion like, okay, that went great, or that the one guy screwed up, or we didn't count on this, or whatever. There'll usually be a little that. But in general, it's always what's the next act. I want to tell you about Varidesk, and then I want to get to what's going on this week in Russia, this week in Trump, this week in indictments, this week in...
It's our new weekly feature, this week in Russia.
First, I'll tell you about Varidesk. This year, the cubicle turns 50. Back then, it was typewriters, smoking at your desk. But the workplace has changed. Varidesk, active workspace solutions make it easy to improve employee health and boost energy and productivity. Sit-stand solutions that go on top of your existing desk to full-standing desk design for simple setup, easy to move as your business grows. It's true, you can just pick it up, put it on top of your new desk. Little to no assembly, ready in minutes. You guys have seen the commercials on TV, so you probably know how it works. You stand, you sit, you stand. It's great. It's great for your back. It's great for your energy.
Oh, it's spectacular. In fact, I'm looking at somebody who's using one right now.
It's made of commercial-grade materials. It lasts a lifetime, and it actually works. Comes in a box. Open it up. Put on your desk and get started and try it today. 30-day free trial, risk-free, free shipping, free returns if you're not totally satisfied. So why wouldn't you give it a shot? Varidesk.com. That's Varidesk.com. So what is going on out there in Russia and Trump and all the different names?
It's very interesting. As you know, they did the 13 Russians who they indicted, and this past week, they downgraded Jared Kushner's security clearance. And as I think I had mentioned either last week or the episode before, to me, this indictment of the 13 has all the earmarks of that Jared Kushner is in the crosshairs. And it's clear that based on some of the leaks that are coming out about the meetings in the White House and then the loans that the family business gets. And then there's also articles that have come out about his meetings with Qataris and what was happening there. I think it's clear that that's where he is headed. And the Robert Gates cooperation agreement and the rolling of Manafort and the Hope Hicks resignation, because everybody keeps saying, and I think this is just complete, they missed the point. Hope Hicks, who originally started as a PR person for Ivanka's line and then made her way into the inner circle in Trump's campaign, and then by most reports is one of his most trusted aides, who has, I think, been reported at least to have dated Corey Lewandowski, the former campaign manager, and was dating Rob Porter, who was the former Rhodes Scholar who resigned because his two ex-wives said he liked to beat him. And her resignation coming on the heels of testifying for 8 hours, I do not think it was because she said that Trump makes her tell little white lies. I don't buy that for a second. I've had close confidants / people who work for me who have said idiotic statements or made idiotic statements. You don't torch them, especially when they're in your inner circle. for something like that. I think that something came up, or that she realized that she may have some exposure of some kind, or that she can see where this thing is headed. I think something else transpired in that interview, which gave her great cause to say, I got to get the hell out of here because I don't like where this is headed.
So there's that aspect of it. There's the other, the FISA court other side of it, which is we're now at the point where the FBI and their CIA or DOJ, whatever, they're investigating other people, and other people want them investigated.
Right.
So,
exactly. Well, that's right. Like I say this, it seems like every week on This Week in Russia that there is, I can't tell you the delight I take in watching this ox get gored, because, you know, it's a complete role reversal from what usually happens. And now all those people who used to complain about quote unquote slimy defense or criminal defense lawyers now understand that, boy, oh boy, maybe they had a point, and boy, oh boy, maybe law enforcement is not as pristine and pure as they're made out to be. And boy, oh boy, maybe they, you know, we talked and bring it full circle from what we started with. You know, this idea of this infallibility or this lack of that you couldn't touch it because it was like the third rail of American politics is changing. And I think for the better, because the more we challenge these institutions, the better. I don't buy into this stuff where people are saying, oh, you know, this is going to do great harm to law enforcement. No, I mean, why do they get a pass?
Right. Well, what do you think is going to happen? First off, the FISA warrant, depending on what news you're watching.
Yeah, I don't think that you're going to see any significant changes in the FISA process, because I think that part of what people don't understand is that the search warrant process is such a flawed process to begin with. I mean, there was a friend of mine, Harlan Braun, who used to have a motion to suppress, and the motion to suppress when a search warrant, for instance, and it's similar to a FISA warrant in this sense, a cop goes into a judge, he makes a showing of probable cause that's usually done by an affidavit under penalty of perjury, and supposedly a judge is going to read the affidavit and then see if there is probable cause to or sufficient cause to issue the search warrant. Well, Harlan used to have a motion that was motion to suppress, challenge the search warrant, and he called it the designated search warrant whore motion, whore, W-H-O-R-E. Mm-hmm. And he used to direct it at one particular judge who's now dead, who used to come back to the courthouse in the afternoon after being at the Velvet Turtle and being at a .20, and she would sign anything. And God forbid if you were in her courtroom, you couldn't understand what she was saying because she was slurring her words. And the designated search warrant whore motion was that you could put literally anything in front of her and she would authorize a search warrant. That's, you know, that's one extreme. The fact is that there are certain judges in every jurisdiction where law enforcement knows they'll sign anything. They'll issue a warrant for literally anything. You could give them something that was rejected by some other judge and they'll sign it. That's, you know, you hope that doesn't happen with FISA, but FISA, for all of its fallibility, still has some pretty able federal judges on the FISA court who are not as hometown as some of the judges that you have sitting in state courts across the country. I guess it's the most delicate way I can put it. But I don't think you're going to see a change, because I just don't think that they've got the gumption. What I do think you'll see a change, or what will happen, is I think you're going to see that there is going to be some oversight from Congress on what's going on at the DOJ, what's going on at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And you've already seen pushback that I didn't think I'd see in my lifetime.
So let's see, before we wrap it up.
Well, before we wrap it up, one story that, Gary, where did you go to college?
University of Arizona.
Well, did you happen to see? I bet you you're following a certain case. Are
did
you
I happen to see?
Hmm.
Yes, last Friday night, right before Arizona had a basketball game on Saturday, it came out that ESPN did an extensive report saying that as part of the NCAA or the FBI's investigation into NCAA athletics, specifically men's basketball, they had a recording of Coach Sean Miller, the head coach of my school's program for the past 8 years or so, telling a agency runner that he would pay $100,000 to ensure that our star player this year, a freshman, would come to Arizona. And that supposedly happened, as initially reported, that happened in spring of 2016. That was last Friday.
Yeah, and that was last Friday. And what has happened since then, which has thrown that story into some sense of doubt,
some sense of doubt. Well, yeah, absolutely. So then over the course of they benched the coach, they let the player in question play for Saturday's game. Arizona lost. And then other news outlets started calling the ESPN report into question. And this most recent Thursday, as you listen to this, there was a meeting with the Board of Regents and the president of the college. And then they sent the coach out there to speak to the media, and he flatly denied it. And every single line in his statement basically sounds like a setup for the lawsuit of him against Disney, ESPN's parent company.
And one of the things that came out is it looks like under the timeline that the supposed intercepted call was well after he had committed.
Correct. And the way that
well after the recruit had committed.
Correct. So the statement and the way the coach's statement reads, he is 100% positive there could not be a recording of this.
I welcome this because this is the worm turning. This is the media running nuts with everything, and everyone is, you know, guilty in the court of public opinion until proven innocent. And people have to start fighting back. They have to get their reputation back. And these people that are going to go out there and soil people's reputation, which ultimately it's all you have at the end of the day. God bless
them. Which is exactly right. You can't pack anything else into that coffin.
Here's my question for you, Mark. This gentleman makes somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million a year. At his age, he's probably got 30 years left in his career. How much is he going to sue Disney for? This could have easily ended his career, and this is libelous, it appears. So if that is the case, what's his lawsuit against Disney?
Hold on. Tease it. I'll tell you about ZipRecruiter, and then we'll get a ballpark from Mark Aragus. Hiring, posting to job sites, and waiting for the right people to see it. ZipRecruiter built a platform that finds the right candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply for your job. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate in just 1 day. So why wouldn't you go down that road? The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter. Our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/doubt. That's ZipRecruiter.com/doubt. ZipRecruiter, these guys are the best, and they're the smartest way to hire at ZipRecruiter. What do you got, Garrigus?
What have I got? Well, you know, that's a very good... let me just finish Gary's thing. What is that case worth? This under the New York Times versus Sullivan U.S. Supreme Court case, you've got to show actual malice. And so if they make the request, if his lawyer, the coach's lawyer, makes the request and details why it's factually wrong, if they do a correction/retraction, they take the wind out of the sails because he's a public figure, and that has the added bonus of malice. This has been, by the way, as an aside, one of Trump's big issues is that he would love to have Congress eliminate or overrule that U.S. Supreme Court decision so that it would make it easier to sue a news outlet if you are a public figure.
So not much if they apologize, if they stick to it.
If they apologize, slash retract.
All right. Thursday, March 15th, Oxnard Levity Live, best of cable commentary, and we're doing about 10 movies. So you want to come out and check that out with me and Mike August. Go to adamkroll.com for all the live shows. Madison, Wisconsin, coming up April 6th. That is stand-up. And we're all over the place. Esports Arena, that's in Santa Ana. That is Saturday, April 21st. That's a live podcast there. Seattle Moore Theater is coming up. That's a live podcast. Go to Corolla Drink. Say hi to Lynette. Mark, what do you got?
I've got Prova Pizza in the Grand Central Station. We've got Casa Tropicana in San Clemente, which is one of Gary's favorite places. We've got the Engine Company 28 downtown at LAX, and Mediterranean Tapas at 10 E. And Monday, stay tuned, a new client and a new case, and we'll be talking about it next episode after we walk into the courtroom on Monday.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garagus saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.